There's some notes there provided for you in the bulletin. Turn to Isaiah chapter 46. That's where we're going to be today. I just want to kind of talk to us as a congregation today. That's kind of why I've set the platform up the way I have today, because I just want to casually talk to you about some things. The last couple of weeks for us as a nation have been incredibly, incredibly eventful. Wouldn't you say that? And yet, some of the things that have happened may cause us to question what's going on, may cause us to kind of sit back and say, well, you know, I thought this or I thought that. And so this morning what I want to do is, just for the next few minutes, I want to talk to you. I don't want to preach at you. I may end up preaching because you know me. It's hard for me to talk without preaching. But I want to talk to you a moment about our future. About our future, and I don't know anything that is more unsettling to people sometimes than when we talk about our future, because it involves us individually, it involves our families, it involves our communities. The future involves our nation, and when you start talking about the future, what does the future hold? It can become an incredible source of anxiety, because you know you don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what's out in front. How many of you have ever had any anxiety, you who are parents, in regards to the future of your children? Any of you ever thought, you sat there, you're watching them grow up, and you're going, what are they going to become, and what's the world going to be like when they're my age? And if you're not careful, you know, you're trying to project what's happening when you know you have no power to control what's going to happen in the future, and it can create this incredible source of anxiety. You're a young adult, and your career hasn't panned out like you thought it was going to, and then with everything that's happening, with the economy and everything, you're going like, where are things going to be happening, you know, and how is that going to touch me? Or maybe you're starting a family and you're thinking to yourself, what is this? And it's so hard sometimes, isn't it, for us to just get a handle on what's before us, my finances, my health, and all of this. And it can create an atmosphere of apprehension. This weekend, on Friday, Joan and I got in the car, and we took off, and we headed down to Brooklyn to see Matt and Mary. We wanted to go spend some time with them, and we had a little window of time to go hang out with them. And so we got in the car, jumped in the car, picked Anna up at Alfred State, and off we went to Brooklyn. Now, before we went, we had done all of our research, and we had gotten I'd gotten my iPad out, and I went to IMAP, and plugged in where I needed to go, and planning for the future. You know, we're going to Brooklyn. And so, here it is. I pull up the IMAP, and it gives me three routes that I can take in to Brooklyn where, you know, Matt and Mary live. Well, obviously, you know, we want to do some planning ahead of time because we know, okay, the hurricane came through there, really devastated some areas, and so we want to find out what's the best route and are those routes open. And so we did all of our homework and we had it all in place, and we called some people down in New York, and some people were saying, don't come, it's awful down here. And other people were going, come on down, it's fine, everything's open, stuff like that. And so we secured a route that everybody told us was open. So our future was secure, right? Here we go, we get in the car, we're driving down, and we're just having a great time, and we're following, you know, the IMAP. And if you've ever, any of you ever worked with this tool, great tool, wherever you are, there's this little bleep that tells you, it's a little bubble, and it says, here's where you are. And how can you get lost with a tool like this? Put it in the hands of Chris and Joan Wood. That's how. Joan had her iPhone out, and Anna had the iPad out, and we had our route secure. Our future couldn't be more secure. You know, we had all kinds of routes, and we got there, and we almost got to where we needed to get. And guess what happened? This road was closed, and this road was closed, and this one was closed. And so all of a sudden, we found ourselves in a nice little part of New Jersey called Hoboken. Now, if you've been watching the news, Hoboken was almost literally destroyed by the hurricane. And yet, my iPad told me, this is where you should go. And so here I am, I'm in downtown Hoboken, driving around, and Joan's got her iPhone out, and Anna's got the iPad out, and they're saying, turn here. No, 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 turn here. No, you got to go on this road. And what had happened was, somehow we got off the route, and there was a bridge over us that was the route that we were supposed to be on, but the road that we were on was paralleling the bridge underneath. So the machine was telling us we were on the right road, but I was in a place that had been devastated by a hurricane, and I began to fear for my life. My future was not so secure anymore. And if you can imagine, the atmosphere in the car suddenly shifted. Any of you ever been in this kind of situation? And Joan's going, take a right now. And I'm saying, that doesn't make any sense to take a right now. And she's going, but that's what my iPhone is telling me. And Anna's going, no, Mom, don't you. We're supposed to be taking a left right now. And I'm just saying, just tell me where the bubble is. Where's the bubble? Where's the bubble? And the bubble's right here. And yet we had two devices telling us go opposite directions. And we were just besides ourselves. And when your future is not secure, the atmosphere changes. We did not lose our sanctification, but we came really close. Well, finally, we got on the way and we made it to Matt and Mary's house, and everything was good, and they were kind of laughing at us, and we were kind of laughing at ourselves. But what I want to talk to you about this morning is, well, you can look at the events that have transpired in our nation over the last 2-3 weeks or more, and feel a sense of insecurity. You could come away feeling apprehensive towards the future. But I want to assure you this morning that even if things have not turned out as you thought they should have turned out, that is no reason for you or for me as a believer to feel any level of insecurity or apprehension whatsoever. And I'm going to show you why that's true. Because, you know, even on our best days, we cannot forecast the future, can we? We cannot forecast what a storm is going to do. We can't even forecast what an election is going to do. So we cannot forecast. We do not have the ability to look way out in the future and even know what's going to happen. And a lot of times, because we don't have that ability and we think we should, when outcomes come about that are not in accordance with what we think the outcome should be, namely Hoboken, New Jersey, okay, we can get all like out of sorts. But there is scripture that's going to help us today. So if you're in Isaiah chapter 46, I want to talk to you about a secure future. I want to talk to you about the central, what I think one of the foundational or central truths of Christianity is, and it has to do with the sovereignty of God. If you and I live with a revelation and an understanding of the sovereignty of God, then even when things do not turn out like we thought they might, there's no reason for us to be insecure. There's no reason for us to be apprehensive. And I want to show you why. Verse 8, remember this and show yourselves men. Or another way that can be translated is remember and stand firm in the truth, okay? So remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors. Now let me just stop there and frame the context of what Isaiah is doing. Isaiah is prophesying to a nation that had rebelled against God, and as a result of that, come under captivity as a result of the judgment of God. But now they were coming out of that judgment, and they were coming back into the favor of God. And so the prophet is speaking a word that is challenging them not to go back into what brought them into captivity in the first place. And that's why he's saying, remember. Notice what he says. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Stand firm. Don't waffle. Even if things are not turning out as you thought they would, even though you believe you are honoring the Lord with your life, if things are not turning out as you thought they might, it is not a time for you to be waffling or wavering in your faith. Why? All you need to do is remember the impotency of idolatry and that of the power of God. And he's saying, you gave yourselves to idols. Now, that's what he was saying to this people. And it got you nowhere. And even though you gave yourselves to idols, God has delivered you. So remember, don't go back to those old things. Stay firm, stay focused on the power of God. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, verse 9, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Saying, now watch, this is what the Lord says. He says, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my pleasure. So let's take your notes out and follow along with me if you want to, okay? So the introduction says one of the most foundational realities for Christians is the priceless truth of the sovereignty of God. So, what is the sovereignty of God? Let's talk about the sovereignty of God, because when we talk about the sovereignty of God, what the prophet is saying here is he's talking about the uniqueness of who God is, the God that you and I serve, the God that you and I have professed to be the Lord of our lives. He is singling him out, and he is saying he is unique above all the other creatures of the universe. He's saying he is in a class all by himself. There is no one like the Lord. He is prophesying that. That means the Lord is announcing that about himself. Now, why is that important? Well, it's important in times like this. It's important for you and I to realize that the Lord will speak to his people in the midst of a time that seems uncertain or questionable or apprehensive. And he will say, like he said to the people of God, you need to remember this. I am God. And by that, he's saying, don't forget, when I declare that I am God, don't start acting like I'm not. Don't start acting like just because you were caught by surprise that I was caught by surprise. I am God. And look at what he says. He says, I am God, and there is none like me. There is none who compares with who I am. And so when we start talking about the sovereignty of God, it is crucial that we begin to understand that God is saying, you as a believer, you who believe that I exist, don't start acting like you don't believe that just because things in your personal life or in the national life of a nation changes. Don't start acting like I am not who I am. I change not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am God. That word God there that is used is the word Elohim, and that can be translated this way. I am the mighty one. I am the omnipotent one. I am the Godhead in fullness. In other words, he's saying, when I announce who I am announcing who I am in my fullness. I am Elohim. I am the victorious one. He is emphasizing his might. He is emphasizing his creative power. He is emphasizing the attributes of his justice and his rulership. And so here's the thing I want you to understand. When we start talking about the sovereignty of God, let's talk about how we define the sovereignty of God, because it's crucial that we understand this. And so in your notes, you'll see, what is the sovereignty of God? Let's define it. The sovereignty of God is his rule over my life in such a way that he accomplishes his purpose. And he always accomplishes his purpose. Now, I want you to get a hold of that, because some people might misunderstand what I'm trying to say to you as we move forward here. Now, when I say that the sovereignty of God is his rule over my life or over the life of a nation, in such a way that he always accomplishes his will, I do it in the context of what the Word of God says. And why that is so important is because sometimes in the execution of that reality, it doesn't look that way to us. And here's the thing that you need to understand, that God's sovereign care means this, it's in your notes, that he is actively involved in my life, although that may not be obvious to me. Have you ever had anything going on in your life where you thought to yourself, God, are you seeing what's going on here? Are you even noticing how they are treating me? I didn't think my life was going to take this turn or that turn. I didn't think I was going to be on the shores of Jersey in the devastation of a hurricane. I thought I was going to cruise over a bridge and end up in Brooklyn, New York, eating a hot dog. And here I am, you know, nonetheless lost in my, and none of my modern tools can save me. But when you realize that no matter how life turns for you or me, or even for our nation, that you realize that God has declared over us that he is actively involved, even though it might not seem obvious to me that he's actively involved, look at the second part. To accomplish his purpose, he does this within the framework of my free will and the natural laws of life. Now that's important for you and for me to realize. When God announces that he is sovereign over your life, he says, I am sovereign, but I announce my sovereignty in the framework that I have given you free will and I have given you choice. Now if you choose to do my will and you choose to be obedient, there are blessings that follow that. But if you choose to resist my goodwill, if you choose to go opposite my purpose, you don't change a thing, but you will suffer the consequences of that choice. So as an individual, if I as an individual wake up one day and you say, you know what, I don't want to be obedient to the will of God today. Guess what? His purpose for you, that which he has declared over your life to accomplish, is not going to change. If God has said he's going to accomplish something through you and for you, he'll do it. The length of the journey is up to you. That's what the sovereignty of God. He's announced something over your life. So, okay, you say, well, Chris, get a little more specific. Okay, say anybody ever had a teenager go wacko? I mean, beyond regular wacko. Where you raise them to love God, you raise them in the admonition of the Word of God, and then somewhere along the line, you are just, I know God's will for them is this and that, and I know God's going to accomplish his purpose for your life, and I'm praying over that, and you are sealed by the blood of Jesus, and Holy Spirit, come, you're doing all this stuff. And then at about, for me, it was at about 14 years old, one day I said, what have you done with my child? And he started making decisions that were contrary to everything that we had told him. Well, God had a purpose for his life. And when God announces a purpose over your life, you can make decisions out of your own free will that may open you to consequences that are contrary to the will of God. But if you hold steady, and you keep your eyes fixed on God, he will bring you back around to his purpose. And he will bring your child back around. I've seen it with my own eyes. And so, I want you to understand the framework within which we talk about the sovereignty of God. Because, you know, if we don't understand that God allows free will, he allows people to choose. When you choose, he also allows you to understand the consequences of your choice. And so how does knowing that reality affect you and me, or how does it help you and me feel secure in the midst of what some might say is an uncertain future? You know, you could look at what's happening in our nature and our nation and say, things seem so uncertain now. I don't know where this is going. You could look at what's happening in the world globally with all of the violence. And you could say, it just seems so uncertain. It seems so unpredictable. It seems like it changes every day. It seems like, how can you and I be secure in the midst of that kind of uncertainty? Well, it's coming to an understanding out of the Word of God, coming to an understanding of how the sovereignty of God works and how I can come into a place of cooperation with the will and the purpose of God for my life. So in your notes, how God's sovereignty gives God's people security in the midst of an uncertain future. Okay, number one, okay, God's ultimate will. See it there in your notes? God will ultimately fulfill everything that He wants to fulfill despite the sins I commit and those committed by others. In other words, I want you to understand that sin cannot, because of the grace of God, sin cannot short-circuit the will of God. It may prolong the purposes of God because there are consequences. How many of you know there are consequences that are attached to sinful behavior? Are you tracking with me? Is everybody with me? Okay. So it is absolutely certain that God will achieve everything that He wants in His creation, and that not even sins or man's disobedience can stop God from accomplishing His purpose. Look at the life of Joseph. How many of you remember the story of Joseph? Remember Joseph had a dream? What was Joseph's dream? He's going to be a ruler. He gets so excited. He gets this dream and has a jacket of many colors, and all the coat of many colors. And so he says to his older brothers, he says, guess what? God has spoken to me. I understand God's purpose for my life. God's purpose for my life is for me to rule over you. Isn't that exciting? How many of you remember the story? Oh, yeah, that's real exciting. We're throwing you in a pit. Now, think about this. Stop for a minute, okay? The fact that Joseph got thrown into a pit, did it short-circuit the sovereignty of God? It really didn't, did it? Now, if you were Joseph, you might have been contemplating a little bit, how did I get up here? How did I get here? I thought I was going to rule. I thought I was going to get to wear that jacket and show it off. But not only was he thrown into a pit, then he was sold into slavery. And while being a slave, he was falsely accused of something that he never did. Are you following me? And thrown into prison. Now, with all of that transpiring, did it ever short-circuit the purpose of God? No, because if you read the whole story, even in the midst of all the things, now, Joseph didn't do everything right. And obviously, some men sinned against him and were disobedient to what we could interpret being the purposes of God. But even with all of that transpiring, as Joseph held steady and trusting God and believing who God was and serving faithfully, even in a prison cell, he served faithfully. Lo and behold, he found himself the second leader in the nation only to Pharaoh, in charge of all of the resources of the land. And he said, you know what man meant for evil, God meant for good. You see, when you live with an understanding of the sovereignty of God, you can understand that God will ultimately fulfill everything that He wants, even in despite man's sinfulness and disobedience. He will bring it around. And so the point, because God works within the framework of the natural laws of life, you cannot escape the consequences of sin. Nonetheless, they are incapable of short-circuiting or preventing the purpose of God being realized. I want you to hear that depending on where you are personally or where you think our nation is going. We have to get back to some of the foundational truths and put our hope in God. Amen? Is everybody okay with what I'm saying here today? I'm not talking about how did you vote or anything like that. I'm not going there. I'm just saying you might be looking with great apprehension towards where we're going financially. You might be looking great apprehension. How is this going to affect me here? How is this going to affect me here? This decision, this personal decision that I made, how is it going to affect me here? And the point that I'm trying to drive home is if you and I can firmly focus in on the sovereignty of God, then we can do what the Israelite nation was admonished to do. He said, the Lord prophesied through Isaiah and said, stand up like men and remember who God is in your midst. Don't run out into your caves. Don't go hiding. Don't withdraw. Stand up like men on what you know to be truth. And here's the point, guys. Like never before, the church needs to find her voice. Do you know, and I can't substantiate this, but maybe others can. I was told that during this election cycle, when the votes were taken, now listen, 15 million evangelicals stayed home and didn't vote because they didn't like either choice. Which, when Joan shared that with me, she said, Chris, the church is still asleep. She is still asleep. So now that's not a statement of could it have swung the election one way or another. When you and I, as believers in a nation, have the right and the responsibility to vote, and we don't steward that, and we say, well, I don't like the way things are going, therefore I'm staying home. When 15 million of us do that, the church is still asleep. But you know what? It doesn't change God's plan. God will accomplish his will and his purpose. Why? Because he's sovereign. And he says, if I say it, I will do it. And so I want you to get a hold of that and let the hope of God just begin to resonate within you. Okay? Now, in your notes, number two, God will ultimately fulfill everything that he wants despite my failures. I can have failed plans. I can do things that are outside of the purposes of God and think, you know what, I'm just going to do this. And even my failed plans cannot change the purpose of God. Look at Proverbs. With me, if you would, Proverbs 19, verse 21. Proverbs 19, verse 21. I love this. Are you with me? Proverbs 19, verse 21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, what does it say? The Lord's counsel that will stand. Are you following me? You and I can have many, many plans. And God allows us within the framework of free will and choice to have plans. But he says, you know what? At the end of the day, my plan wins. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. You can say, but is that God's plan? I'm not saying it is. What I'm saying is, at the end of the day, God's plan wins. Are you with me? So he says, you know, have all the plans you want, Chris Wood. Plan all you want, but at the end of the day, I'll give you the right to plan, but I hope your plan is in conjunction with my will. Because at the end of the day, my counsel is the thing that stands, not your plan. And so I want you to begin to catch something of my heart here as I share this with you, because, you know, maybe some of you woke up Wednesday morning and you were terribly, terribly, terribly disappointed. Well, here's the deal. At the end of the day, whose plan wins? God's plan wins. Maybe some of you woke up Wednesday morning and you were exhilarated. And you went, whoo! You know, at the end of the day, guess what? Man has his plans, but God's plan always prevails. And so we can look at that nationally. We ought to look at that as individuals. Because sometimes we wake up and we don't seek the will of the Lord for our lives. We just say, go about our day, and we do what we want to do. And we just, you know what? Today, I think I'm just going to go have a Wendy's Baconator. Hallelujah. It's just a Baconator day. Bacon. You know. That's my purpose. Well, you know what? Eat your Baconator and suffer the consequences. God wanted you to have tofu. No, I'm sorry. My purpose being in saying this to you is to realize the truth of the Scripture. And the Scripture says, you can have your plans, but it's my plan at the end of the day that prevails. And I will. Look at what he says in Isaiah. He says, I will accomplish my purpose. Hallelujah. I will accomplish my purpose. Why will I? Because I'm God. I am God. Amen? And so he will. And so listen, what we need to understand is, what is our role today? Our role is to pray for our president, lift him up before the Lord. Our role is to pray for those in the Senate, those in the Congress, lift them up before the Lord and pray. Why? Because God has allowed us to have the gift of intercession, whereby we can pray for our leaders, even if it didn't shake out like we thought it should. What, you know how we ought to move now? We ought to move in accordance with the Word of God, and the Word of God says, listen, pray for your leaders. And so we begin to lift our voices in intercession for those who lead us. And ask God would give them wisdom and understanding and open their hearts to truth and so forth and so on. Why? Because we want a nation and we want our lives to be following as close as we can, as imperfect as we do, the purpose and the will of God. Why? Because that's the plan that will prevail at the end of the day. Amen. Are you tracking with me? All right. So when people's plans are not always accomplished, God's plans always succeed. What God wants to happen will happen. Not even my failures can stop the purposes of God. Not even my failures can stop the purposes of God. Okay, so here's the crucial question that every one of us has to face. If that's true, if the plans of God always prevail, if God is sovereign and he announces and he does, out of his sovereignty, accomplish his will, then the question that I must answer is this: am I devoted to God and to his purpose? Or am I trying to exercise my own will? Am I trying to do my own thing? See, because at the end of the day, we're all going to, how many of you know that there are probably 200 different opinions in this room about any given subject? Are you with me? Some of them are going to be fairly close, but, and how many of you have an opinion about stuff? Any opinionated people here? Okay. Here's the news flash. Your opinion really doesn't matter. What we have to be aligned to is God's opinion, his agenda. And I have to ask myself this question: am I, number one, devoted to God? And am I devoted to his purposes? Okay? Because here's the central truth. I can have security in the midst of an uncertain future, knowing that God will accomplish his purpose despite my sin and failures when I live for God's purposes. You see that truth? Here's an example. Just read it there with me. In your notes. Now think about this. When nations came to do their absolute worst, namely murder the Son of God, Jesus Christ, they had not slipped out of God's control, but were doing his bidding at their worst moment. That's verified by Scripture. Truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. The worst sin that ever happened was in God's plan, and by that sin, sin died. Think about that. Isn't that a powerful statement of God's sovereignty? So there are some exhortations I want to leave you with this morning as we consider how we go from here with a sense of security in the sovereignty of God. First of all, let's learn how to stand as a people in awe of God's sovereign authority, His freedom, His wisdom, and the power of God. Stand in awe of it. Consider it. Study it. Look at it. Look at the examples throughout Scripture. And let that become a basis for your security, even though things might seem very uncertain to you right now. Even though it might, you might be questioning, how could this happen? Listen, here's the deal. How could a storm like that come together? How could there be such devastation? How could they be, if God's in charge of things, why is there such suffering and all of, listen, if you want to ask those questions, you've got to go back a little bit and stand in awe of the sovereignty of God to see His plan played out over the scope of time. Remember, God looks at things from an eternal perspective. You and I look at things from where? Right here in our own little world. The second one is, let's not trifle with life. See it not as a small and a light affair, but as something, your life, my life, very, very important. The people who are now in New Jersey and in New York, how many of you know that their life probably matters a little different to them today than maybe 2 weeks ago? And some of them are just struggling for power. They're just, see, and so my point being is, don't take your life lightly. God's put you on the earth to accomplish something, namely His will and His purpose. So consider what you're doing with your life. Consider how you're using your time. Consider who you're serving. Consider who you're reaching out to. Consider what God has called you to be and to do. And don't be somebody who sits at home just because you don't like how things are turning out. Like never before, it's time for the church to wake up. Amen? So don't trifle at it. Number three, let's marvel at the salvation that has been given to us. Come on, folks. Just think, God, in the midst, when Chris was at his most rebellious season of his life, my rebellion could not short-circuit the grace of God. He pursued me. He called me out. He brought people to me. Why? Because He had a sovereign purpose for me to fulfill. And even when I was at my worst, He said, I'm going to be at my best. And He rescued me from sin. Now, did I suffer the consequences of my choices? Absolutely. But you know what? I don't live in the past anymore. I live in the present tense. And I'm a born again, saved individual. And did I make mistakes in the course of my life? I absolutely made some of the most grievous mistakes that you could think of. But you know what? He saved me. And He saved you. And if you're not saved, He wants to save you. Because He has a plan and a purpose for your life to fulfill. Let's marvel at that. He, through His sovereign power, He saved us. Number four, let's definitely groan over the God-belittling, man-centeredness of our culture. We don't need to point fingers. We don't need to throw stones. What we do, we need to get that inner groan. And you know what that inner groan is? It should bring us to another place of intercession. When we see how God-belittling a culture has become and how man-focused and centered a culture can become, that should be a call to Christian people to let that inner groan, that groan of the Holy Spirit, be awakened in their hearts. Not as we pray in judgmental, but as we pray for an earnest intervention of God's grace upon our land. Oh, let the groan begin. I remember when I was in Russia and I met with a bunch of Russian leaders, and their nation was just coming out from under communist rule, but their nation was a mess. And I remember being in a room with them, and as they began to pray and intercede for their nation, I had never experienced this in my life, but the groan of the Holy Spirit began to be awakened in me as I prayed along with them. And I didn't even know what they were praying because they were praying in Russian. And guess what? I don't speak it. But I understood the groan. There was an inner witness in my heart. And I just prayed with them. Do you know, I woke up the next day and I thought that I had had some kind of an ab workout, because all of these muscles were literally aching and in pain because the groan had not only been spiritual but physical. Let the groan of your concern be aired before the throne. All right? And that's number five. Let us continue to be bold at the throne of grace, knowing that our prayers for the most difficult things can be answered. Nothing's too hard for God. You might be facing a situation within your family where you think decisions were made that have completely short-circuited the purposes of God in your kids, in your marriage, something like this. Listen, get before. This is not a season for you to be withdrawing from the throne of grace. It's a season for you to be approaching the throne of grace and lifting that situation up before the Lord. Why? Because that which He purposes to accomplish in your marriage or through your marriage or with your child or whatever, the place of intercession is as important today as it has ever been. The place of prayer. Stand before the throne. Why? Because Jesus' blood has made a way for you and I to come before the throne of grace with assurance and confidence. Hallelujah. I don't care how desperate the situation might look to you. I had an opportunity to be with my mom, who, for some of you who have asked, the cancer is taking hold of her body. Physically, she is not doing really well, but emotionally and mentally, she's doing just great. And we just had some great times of prayer and intercession. And she said, "Well, we're not going to stop praying, are we, Chris?" And I said, "Absolutely not, Mom." And she goes, "Yeah, I'm getting a little old and I'm getting a little fragile here." But she said, "I'm not going to stop praying." Why? Because she knows she has a place before the throne. And I said, "Mom, can you believe for healing?" And she said, "Well, if God wants this 85-year-old lady to stay around, that's his deal." She says, "I'm ready to go see my husband who's in heaven before." She says, "I'm ready to go anytime, but if God wants me to stay, I'll stay." See, what she was saying to me is God's sovereign. If He wants me to go, I'll go. But if He wants me to stay, I'll stay. And if I stay, I'll be functional as I stay. And so talk about humbling. Talk about humbling. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm here to encourage Mom. And she's preaching to me, you know, and I'm like, "Whoa, this is awesome, Mom. Thank you." So don't ever, now hear me, don't ever vacate your place before the throne. Even if life doesn't seem like it's going the right way, don't vacate your place. You have a place in God before the throne to stand before the mighty one and say, "God, you are sovereign. Even if I don't understand what's going on today, I'm going to pray into this situation and believe thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. When I see it happening, I'm going to give you all the glory and all the honor." Okay, number six, let's rejoice. Now watch, I don't believe that we've ever had such a great opportunity to evangelize as we do today. So let us rejoice that our evangelism will not be in vain, because there is no sinner so hard the sovereign grace of God cannot break through. Like never before, we need to understand that there are people who are lost in sin. And the only reason they're lost in sin, folks, is because of their choices and our inability to communicate to them the truth. Because when you and I communicate the truth of the gospel, listen, God's sovereign. His grace is powerful. It'll break through even the hardest heart. You say, "Chris, how do I know that?" Living testimony sitting before you. God broke through to this man. He showed me the way. It was His grace. There were people faithful, though, that understood their role of evangelism in Chris Wood's life was just to tell them the truth. Just to give them the good word. Just to let them know that God is reigning. He's supreme. He's got a plan for your life, Chris. I remember the first time I heard that. I said, how can God have a plan for my life? I've literally almost ruined my life. I was talking to someone recently, and they were talking about going back to one of their reunions, one of their high school reunions. And they said, "Chris, have you ever gone back to a high school reunion?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. I went to my fifth high school reunion. Now I'm too far down the road. I'm afraid to go to a reunion now." You know what I'm saying? But I remember 5 years out of high school, I showed up and my best friend came and his eyes were wide open like this. And he said, "I never expected to see you here." And I said, "Well, why are you saying that?" He said, "Well, because of the lifestyle that you were living, I thought for sure you would be dead by now." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "Because God's got a plan for my life." You see, between that time of graduation and 5 years later, I had gotten saved. And I was serving the Lord. And he says, what has happened to you? And I said, I'm born again. And he said, talk to me about it. You see, sometimes we look at a situation and we think there is no hope for that situation. But listen, God has a plan. So your life individually, your family life, our life as a nation, our life as a community of believers here, God has a plan for this church. Have we realized God's full plan for this fellowship yet? I don't think we have. But now's not the time to quit. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's press in, let's press in, let's press in. And let's look for those opportunities to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. And number seven, let's be thrilled and calm in these days of great upheaval. Because listen, victory belongs to God, and no purposes that He wills to accomplish can be stopped. Hallelujah. Do you have a responsibility? Do I have a responsibility? Absolutely. But it's not a responsibility to lose hope. It's not a responsibility to cash in. You know, this is not a time for the church to retreat. This is a time for a church to rise up, no matter what we're seeing on the plains, no matter what we see on the horizon. It is a time for the church to rise up and realize that you have a voice. I have a voice. And it's to be a servant of God. It is to be one who lives devoted to God and to His purposes. Amen. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you that, Lord, we can gather like this and just be a family, talk about these things, and talk about sometimes the uncertainties of life that surround us, whether it be our personal life, whether it be our family life, whether it be the life of our community or the life of our nation, or even the global life that we share, the life of the globe, what's happening worldwide. Lord, it's so easy if we get our eyes off of this central truth of your sovereignty, it's so easy for us to create around our own lives an atmosphere of anxiety where we lose hope and we become depressed and anxious about tomorrow and what might happen. And Lord, we can't even come close to predicting our future. But Lord, this we can do. We can put our hope in God. We can put our trust in you. And we can devote ourselves to not only you, but to your purpose and to your plan. I pray that for myself, for my family, for all of my children, for my brothers and sisters in Christ in this house, for our communities and our nations, Lord, that we would be a people that would remember who you are. Just like you exhorted through the prophet Isaiah, the people of Israel, to remember and to recall and to stand firm and not to waver and not to get concerned, but to continue to trust in your sovereignty. Lord, I pray that every one of us would step back for a moment, do a little bit of recalling, a little bit of remembering. Think about how you have displayed your grace and your mercy upon our lives as we consider our kids. We see where they are presently as we think about how you brought us through that journey and sovereignly you brought us to a point of decision and how, Lord, when we pray, we can remember that. How prophetically you spoke through and into situations over my life that I wasn't even aware were going to transpire until you spoke them. Lord, the power of your prophetic voice over my life. Lord, let me stop for a minute and consider what you have already prophesied over me. What you have already said you were going to do. I feel like there are some people here in this room today that have had things prophesied over your life, and because of the longevity of that word and its unfulfillment, you are even beginning to doubt the prophetic word. Is there anybody like that today? You're there going, you know what? Words have been spoken over my life, and I don't see how it's coming to be. I don't see how it's coming together. And maybe spoken over your kids' lives. And listen, here's the thing that you need to hold steady in. That's why he says to the nation of Israel, he says, stand like a man, stand firm right now, and remember my prophetic voice over your life. A lot of times we want it to transpire within our time frame, and I don't know about you, but I've learned in walking with God that His time frame and my time frame are sometimes just a little bit different. What he says is, a moment to me might be a lifetime. And what he says is a lifetime might to me be a moment. I don't get it. But what I do is I trust in the Lord. So, Lord, we thank you for those things that you have declared over our life, those things that you have announced to be and to be true. And even though, Lord, we're sitting and we're just not seeing how it's going to be played out, we know that because you have declared it, it will come to pass in your time and in your way. So, Lord, help us to understand that there is nothing that can hold us and keep us from your power to deliver. Lord, I pray that as we go from this place today, that there would be an inner stirring of our hearts to stand firm in what we know of you, of what we know of your nature, of what we know of your plan and your purpose and your will, and then to see our place and our role in this generation, to be a voice, to be those who stand before the throne, to be those who intercede on behalf of others, to be those who stand in the gap, if it were, for a nation, for a people, for a president, for a senate, for a congress, that desperately in this hour needs to understand what you have planned for our nation. Lord, show us how to stand in a way that brings glory and honor to your name, that your will be accomplished in our generation for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen.